Welcome back. This is episode 4 of the Grapes and Gorak show. We talked about the NFC over-unders last week. A little bit about Vikings. Or actually, it was a lot. We had like half.
We started off with a lot of Viking talk. And then we ended with what we wanted to see coming up in the Denver game, preseason game one.
Yep, which happened on Saturday. That Vikings won 42-28. Nice little showing in the first game. I didn't watch it live, and you were
I couldn't.
Canada.
Yeah, I had no
so
service.
I caught a replay of it last night. Actually,
yeah, I watched it on Game Pass, and I watched. Then kind of went back and watched certain people I wanted to kind of take a closer look at.
And some plays I kind of stopped and rewound it a little bit. And just kind of got a closer eye on things. What'd you like? Like what? I mean, first team offense.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I mean,
first team offense and first team defense, really. I mean, there wasn't anything too impressive with the defense, but they didn't allow Keenum to do anything. Yep. So, but the offense, I mean,
Cousins was 4-4. Diggs had 2 really nice catches on that drive.
And he had 3 total, right?
Yes.
3 and then just one. The other one was to Ham, I think. Yep. So the Diggs Cousins connection looks very good.
I think it's going to be scary good. Diggs, I mean, that deep ball down the sideline, that was a really nice route.
Nice pass, too, because he wasn't really open.
No,
I mean, he was like an anticipation
open.
Throw.
Yeah. Even when he caught the ball, he wasn't open. He grabbed it with one hand and kind of corralled it into his body.
And kind of nice to see, I mean, Cousins looked, he looked like he had a strong arm.
Yeah,
definitely, like, stood in the pocket. Like, everything you want to see out of him, definitely, like, decisive, quick throwing the ball, so... Any worry about him, I guess maybe he's just been getting beat up by our defense in practice. Now he gets to play other teams and it's a little easier.
True. And like you said, like he's got zip on his passes. Like, I mean, I never really noticed that while he was in Washington, but you know, he throws a pretty good ball.
Yeah. And maybe that's from us watching Keenum all last year. Cause Keenum wasn't the strong, he kind of has that little bit of a loft to it, you know, and Teddy also wasn't the strongest arm.
True. And you know, we kind of said that, when we saw Bradford compared to Teddy. You know, because, you know...
Yeah, there's a little more, like, just zip on the ball where it's... You can... It looks like he can fit it into places that some other QBs wouldn't be able to, you know? Like, I don't know if Keenum makes some of those.
No, because, you know, it was always... there's always a lot of air underneath the ball. Mm-hmm. So it always gives defenders time to react. And I think that's something that we're going to see different out of Cousins compared to...
Just really nice to see him look that good.
True.
The first team offense look that good. Nope. I mean, right out the gate. And then no one got hurt. So.
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice seeing as we've got lots of injuries, especially up front.
And even the first team, I mean, I know it was, I think, 3 backups. Because Remmers didn't play, Elfline didn't play, and Easton didn't play.
Yep.
So, but they showed well. Latavius Murray had 2 big runs right at the beginning of the game.
Yep.
He looked good. He actually looks like if he was on a different team, he could actually be a starter somewhere. I mean, he's got...
Yeah, I mean, well, he played. I mean, he played like he was a top 20 running back for us last year. So there's always been like that hype around him since he came into the league. Like everyone thought he could be a number one back, and now he's finally got a decent offensive line, a good defense.
Yeah, and he was always pretty good in Oakland. I mean, he's not Dalvin Cook, but he's still. It makes you feel good about if Cook got hurt again, that our Murray can certainly step in and make plays. I mean, that was like. I think it was either second and long or third and long when he broke off that first down.
Yeah, it was...
Because we had a penalty. I think we tried a screen pass to Murray and Edison.
Was that second?
I think it might have been second. So it was like second and 20-something. Yeah. And he got all of it right back on that run to the right side. And 2 runs to the right side.
Yeah.
That went for a good yard or so. And that's kind of the...
Yeah, no, I think our run blocking looked very well in the game. It's the pass blocking that was kind of...
Up and down.
Yeah, you know, Compton and Rashad Hill kind of got pushed around a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anyone really allowed a sack.
Simeon got sacked once.
Yeah, but our first team didn't.
No, Cousins never got touched.
Yeah,
I didn't think so. He had some pressure on the touchdown, but he threw it so quick that it wasn't... Yeah, he got the ball out of his hands fast on every single play. It wasn't that he's not standing back there, you know, indecisive. He's so quick to throw that.
And you know, on that
in front of your guy
on that touchdown pass. I mean, I watched that. I rewound that play a lot. Everyone was open on that play.
Oh, Treadwell's wide open.
Treadwell's wide open. Mm-hmm. That was the he was up top under coming.
Well,
underneath.
They did do a. I'm pretty sure they went basically all out blitz, man to man across the board.
Don't care.
They better win those. You know what I mean? But at least they showed they're gonna. Open, you know? Yeah, at least they showed they did win.
Yeah, you know, because usually, you know, you might get one or two guys open. You know, everyone's gonna. Mm-hmm. But just like the route trees of all the receivers, the play design and everything. I think that's a play that you know that. That's almost a go-to in the red zone.
Yeah, and they Cousins probably saw, okay, Diggs is covered by some rookie.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, Diggs better beat him on the quick throw. And if they're bringing everyone, I'm looking his way, so.
Yeah. What was I going to say about – the offense. Like, if that's first preseason game. Like, if that's DeFilippo's vanilla preseason offense, can't wait to get the season started because, like – He's got some good play calls. I was really impressed with
him. And that Bronco D isn't a terrible defense. I mean, I know I don't think Von Miller played.
Von Miller didn't play, but I mean they've got Bradley Chubb.
Yeah,
they have Roby.
Mm-hmm. I mean there's played. And they were trying. Yep. You know, I know that we went right down the field pretty much with that first team offense. So yep. Good to see that. Definitely. Because the talk at a training camp, not that the offense has been bad, but it's definitely been the defense is ahead of them.
Yeah.
But best defense in the league. What do you know, what the exactly. Hell do you expect? So.
But it just, I mean, like, you know, we expect to be a top 10 offense, if not top 5. So, like, to see, you know, our defense that far ahead of our offense is where you kind of go, like, all right, you know, that's a little worrisome. Mm-hmm. But.
And is it, you know, it is new quarterback, new coordinators. It's like, okay, I hope this. Doesn't take too long to gel together, and it seems like, I mean, at least from the one drive, was seems like we'll be just fine.
Yeah.
You know?
It'll be exciting to see game 3 when we play the full first half.
Yeah, we get them in there for like a full half.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, no one else really did much because he threw to Diggs 3 out of 4 times. Yep. I mean, so Thielen didn't do much, Rudolph, but, you know, we know who they are. We know they're good.
And exactly. And I think we're going to see that a lot, Cousins and Diggs, you know?
Yeah, I think there's...
I mean...
Diggs looks like he's on another level of talent. Like, that if he can stay healthy, he's going to be. We've been saying this all offseason. I mean, that's why we wanted to lock him up. And
But it's just, I mean, it just seems like the year, you know? It's his fourth year now.
Yeah.
I mean, if he, like you said, if he stays healthy, the dude's got talent. He's been putting in the work. I mean, it's just a matter of time. And I don't know. It might not happen right away week 1, but I'm sure by week 8, week 9, he's going to be the talk of the league. You know?
Yeah.
Talking the league, huh? Oh, yeah. Not just Minnesota. The league.
Talking the league. The people probably finally say that he's better than, like...
Antonio Brown.
Well, okay. Well, now you're jumping way up high there. All right.
But no, he'll definitely be thrown. People will start throwing his name around.
I mean, what was it the year we played the Packers week 1 where he destroyed them? And then I think he had another good game. I think by week 3 or 4, he was leading the league in receiving yardage. And then he got hurt and kind of fell off. But for a few weeks there, it was like, oh, is Diggs like a... One of the top receivers in the NFL is this guy. And then, I mean, he gets banged up. That's always been kind of his problem.
Yeah, but I mean, but that's because that's his play style, you know? I mean, he plays tough every play.
And he's not, it's like he's the thickest guy. He's kind of a frailer body, you know, like just, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not, he doesn't have a Treadwell, you know, where you can take a lot of those hits. So if he does get hit a certain way, I'm sure his body could get dinged up easier.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
Anyone on the second team? Or anyone else you thought stood out?
Aviante Collins played almost 80% of the snaps, and he looked good everywhere he played.
And he played, did he play guard too? I know he played a lot of tackle.
Yeah, he played some guard. Yeah, he played guard, he looked good there. So I think he's, I think he's going to be good.
He's going to be our, where do you think right now our starting offensive line is going to end up being?
I think right off the bat, it's going to go Reef, Compton, Elfline, Remmers should be healthy week 1.
I think Remmers is back at practice now.
Is he now? Yeah. Yep. And then Rashad Hill.
Yeah.
Any
chance you think maybe they slide Remmers back out to tackle and
I would
Collins be or it. Someone or Isadora or someone ends up playing guard with Compton on their side?
I can see it. I mean, it's just if Rashad Hill is. Gets pushed around the next couple games,
And I didn't think Hill played horrible. I mean, he seemed to be okay, fine. I mean, I don't know. Nothing really stood out. He did get pushed back a few times, so we'll see where it goes. I think it's possible they could, if the especially if the guards look good,
Yeah.
That maybe it's like, okay, well, these are the best five guys. I mean, that's kind of what they did last year when they moved Remmers in. It was they want the best five guys. We'll just figure out the positions regardless. But I think I agree with you. I think that's what it'll be.
To start.
Yeah. Reef, Compton, Elflein, Remmers, Hill.
Yeah.
Maybe Collins beats out Compton for the left guard spot.
Yep. And maybe Isidora.
Yeah, he looked good too.
He looked really good. Or not really good, but yeah, he looked good.
Yeah.
You could make an argument for it to go Reef, Collins, Elflein, Isidora, Remmers, you know?
Yeah, that's it kind of. So they got, I don't know, they got a lot to figure out
there. I'd almost
be
more intrigued by that offensive line. You know, the other ones, the other set is more, you know what you're going to get.
Like the safer route. Yeah. Well, less this upside
one,
maybe.
Yeah, but that route, the one with Collins and Isidora, the upside, I like the upside because that's something you can build around.
You know who else did good? Brian O'Neill actually looked pretty good.
Yep. He's on my list of players.
Yeah, he held up really well, I thought, for how they talking like he's basically a redshirt year.
Yep.
And all that stuff.
But he had 21 snaps in pass protection and didn't allow pressure.
So, I mean, maybe it's possible. Again, they've really been slow playing him. But everything, even from beat writers and stuff from practice, they've been saying he's looked good.
Yep.
Or at least
and
looks
gaining,
like...
And he's gaining weight.
Yeah, maybe it's possible.
And maybe it is a redshirt year, but, you know, maybe next year he is going to be able to start right away.
And at least we're hearing good things. I remember you in a previous podcast saying, I just want to at least hear some good stuff about O'Neill coming up during camp. Because if it's he just looks lost and he can't hold his own and is, you know, he's too light, or, you know, that's going to kind of suck to hear that our second round pick might be just wasted.
Exactly.
You know, because did anyone really know who Brian O'Neill was besides draft guru people? But
like when I saw we picked Brian O'Neill, I had to Google him.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. What the heck?
We needed a lineman, but it was like, okay, I didn't have him on my list, so.
Exactly. He wasn't, his name was not highlighted.
Yeah. So good to see him play well and play, and to hear that he's doing well in practice too. So
Who else do I have? I got Kyle Slaughter looked good.
I thought he looked really good.
Yeah.
I mean, he always looks good in preseason. I mean, last year I watched, you could watch, when we acquired him, I watched the YouTube video of every snap with the Broncos, and he looked really good.
Well,
you know?
And you know, that's the thing. And I think he had a couple plays where he audible then something else. The play, and it was the correct call.
I like him going hard for the end zone on the bootleg, I know it's preseason, but it's like, dude, you're a third stringer, go for it.
Go for gold.
Yeah. I did think Simeon, I thought he, up and down, I thought he had some, do you have him as like he played bad? Or
just unimpressed.
Yeah, and I thought he had, was it two or three passes that were just a little off target, which the interception.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, maybe you say Conklin should have at least like, but that's a bad pass.
Yeah, it's a bad
lead
pass.
Him, and he did it another time to Blake Bell, where it's tight ends like crossing routes, and he's throwing behind them.
Yeah, or that little check down where if he threw like behind the running back. And
yeah,
everything.
Yeah. So
it's just
a few. He looks like he knows what he's doing back there. He looks competent going through his reads. And it doesn't look like you're looking at someone like deer in the headlights, but I expect a little more.
Yeah,
you want him to just almost like Case Keenum last year before he kind of broke out and was, but like when Keenum was back there, he wasn't inaccurate very often. I mean, a few bad passes here and there, but I don't know. I expected him to hit a drag route across the field.
Exactly. You got a big target across the middle. He's not super fast either, so it's not like you're gonna throw.
And I know the interception was he was rolling out on the run, but the tight end's rolling with you. It's so. I thought Slaughter looked better than he did.
Yeah. I still think even if Slaughter beats him up for the number two, I still think we keep all three. But it's just, maybe Kyle finds his way moving up the
maybe
depth
he's
chart.
The two and I mean, chances are it'll probably just go into the season like we think it will. But I thought Slaughter showed well. I think Simeon needs to show more coming up here this weekend and going forward. It is just one game. Obviously, we don't want to make like
but I mean, at the same time, I do know that like Keenum didn't look the greatest in the preseason either.
Yeah, so. I remember. I think it was Paul Allen was saying that like he thought that they might even just cut Keenum.
Yeah,
like,
remember there was talk about that.
That like he just wasn't that impressed in training camp. So interesting that how well he played after that.
Exactly.
And again, another reason why I think we were a little bit skeptical that Maybe it's just those receivers carrying some of our guys. Look at that offense. So, well, it's funny. I was watching the, because I was coming back on the plane from Canada, and I was watching the, someone had posted the game on YouTube, but it was the Broncos feed.
Yeah.
And they are just like, they think Keenum's the savior. Like, on there, because it's like their little local, you know, we do K-Fan for our simulcast. Yeah. Well, it's their local guys, and they're just, they kept going, the undisputed starter. The Broncos finally have an undisputed starter. Like, I'm like, you got Case Keenum. Like, and they're just like, all we need, the guy literally says, not to say that this is a comparison, but we haven't had an undisputed starter since Peyton Manning. Oh,
good Lord.
It's like, okay, that's a strange. But, so yeah, they were really hyping him up. Like, you know, we got the defense, we got the weapons, we just needed the quarterback, Case Keenum. So, we'll see how that works out for him.
And I didn't think Keenum was all that impressive.
No. I mean, he didn't play a lot, but he didn't do anything. No. If that was Cousins, I'd have been like, okay, like, you did nothing, you know? And again, best defense they're playing against, and he only got, I think, he's two drives,
practicing,
right?
But he practiced against them all year last year. He knows all their tendencies. Yep. It's like, come on, man. Like, at least show something.
Yeah, it was two, three and outs that he had? Yeah. I mean, I like Keenum. I think he'll be an upgrade for him, but undisputed starter, as if he's coming in and he's the savior for years to come. I don't know about that.
All I know is Paxton Lynch is probably getting cut.
Oh, Chad Kelly got moved to second already. Good. And looked like he was, I don't know, he threw the one interception to Tocho.
Yeah.
And then, but other than that, I don't know, he kind of looked good running around back there.
I'm a fan of Chad Kelly.
Crouch chant his name.
Chad Kelly.
Mr. Irrelevant the year he was drafted, I believe.
Yep, Jim Kelly's nephew.
Oh yeah.
That's Huge fan. Yeah, we got that. Anyone else you
People I thought looked good. Obviously, I thought Rock Thomas looked great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an easy one. He had two touchdowns. Hands looked soft. I mean, looked like he knew what he was doing out there.
Said he wanted to mimic McKinnon a little
which
bit.
That's the role that we need, so makes sense.
Just don't do any jump spins.
Don't get too far away from them. don't do the jump spin. I thought he looked good on the screenplay. Like, I mean, most people would have scored on the screenplay.
Yeah.
But I thought he looked good how he showed patience to, like, let that one guy get blocked and outrun his blockers.
Did you see who blocked him? Who came around on that, on the edge?
No,
That was Deontay Collins.
Oh, Collins coming up there to get that. There's only one guy, and he just had to, you know, a dumb running back just runs fast right away, and just all of a sudden it's not an easy touchdown. And then the way he accelerated, looked like he had great speed. So, and then all of his other runs, he always fell forward for a few extra yards every time, which I thought was kind of a difference between, like, Mike Boone had a few good runs, but he also had a lot where he kind of just, like, would follow the zone stretch play to the outside and just kind of just not go anywhere.
Yeah.
And he didn't really fall forward the way, like, Rock Thomas was moving the pile every time, getting that extra yard. So I think if anyone's right now getting that third running back job,
it's probably Rock. Probably.
I mean, and Mac Brown didn't come until late.
Yeah.
So kind of surprising the veteran. I thought he'd come in after Murray.
Yep.
So, exactly. I don't know. I think right now it's you know, Rock Thomas in the lead for that spot. He looked good.
Yep, which is fine with me. I mean, again, he was a top recruit coming out of college or out of high school. Got bounced around. He's got talent.
That's the kind of guy I like to take a chance on, you know. Yep. He's clearly got some talent there. He just maybe needs to get his head screwed on right.
Same thing with, like, Holton Hill, but he laid it on my list of people who were unimpressive.
Yeah, for all the talk. I thought he missed a couple tackles and then didn't really do much. I heard I saw the punt return. I didn't see, but a lot of people are saying that it was partially his fault.
The punt return touchdown, he didn't.
So that, a couple mistakes. I mean, and just like you said, nothing impressive. Yeah. I mean, nothing for a lot of the talk coming out of camp from the, you know, from people watching saying that he's been looking really good and looking like a steal. If you hadn't told me that, he would have just been another random fourth quarter guy running around that you wouldn't
just another undrafted rookie quarter.
Yeah,
going,
yeah.
Who's at 37? That guy is terrible.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves with the Holton Hill hype. But again, one game.
It's a fun trade. It's a fun trade. I mean, there's still room. People are jumping off the wagon.
Maybe Sherrills does make the team. Who knows?
They do like Sherrills and punt coverage. So
yeah, he was, and he.
George Edwards was
talking about him. Yeah, but what are you gonna do if someone asks you about him? You're not going to say bad things about your players.
Sure you are.
I mean, Hughes, I thought, looked good on defense.
Yeah.
Looked really good. I thought his punt returns were fine. He did kind of bobbled a kick return.
Yeah.
But
he made some really nice tackles.
Yeah, he made nice tackles. I thought he stayed with – there's a video on Twitter where he just basically runs the route for the receiver.
I didn't see that one.
So he's – I thought he looked good in coverage. And they're talking about him like that he's – I mean, Zimmer's just praising him like crazy.
A lot of that stuff has been coming out lately about Mike Hughes. So that's really fun. I know I saw a video on Twitter today of him just – you know, hip to hip with one of the Jags receivers that practice.
Oh, from practice? Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah. Zimmer, I think, put him with the first string.
Yeah.
I think it might have been yesterday or the day before, and he just said, I want to see how he reacts. I want to see how Mackenzie Alexander reacts. I don't know, kind of mixing it up a bit. Maybe he's going to win the nickel job right out.
And, you know, then Mac's just going to. It'll be nice to see what he does. Does Mac work hard and try and get that job back, or does he just kind of just kind of let Hughes have it and go, all right, well, my contract's done after this year and next, like, I'll just wait it out.
Yeah. So, I mean, great depth there.
Yep.
I thought his punt returns looked fine. I didn't see I'm not too worried about losing, if you did have to lose Sherrill's, that Hughes, I think, could do it.
Yep. Like you said, he bobbled the kick return in that.
Yeah. Otherwise, I thought, everything else looked pretty smooth. Other guys that I thought looked pretty good, I thought Tayshaun Bowers looked good.
Yep.
I think he had one sack, but he also had a few pressures.
Yep.
He showed up last year in the preseason looking really good. So, but he got in there earlier this game, so hopefully they do. They're talking about that rotation.
It kind of seems like he's going to be in that rotation.
Yeah, maybe one of the first guys. I mean, it looked like, Robeson got in there pretty early and then didn't play much of the game.
Yep.
So, maybe Bauer's the one right after him.
Yeah.
Gets in there.
Or maybe he jumps ahead of Robeson.
Yeah, maybe
too.
He, yeah. And you that'd really reduce really Robeson nice. Snaps. I don't see them cutting Robeson, but.
No, I think. I mean, he only played 17% of snaps last year.
Robeson?
I think
I thought it was higher than that.
No, I think. Oh, maybe it was the second half of the year or something
like
that.
Slowed him down.
Yeah. But, I can see him. Cutting him down some more, going back to that where, he plays, but it's just so situational at that point.
Yeah, but he seems like such a good leader. I kept seeing after Boone would, I think both of Boone's touchdowns, they cut to the sideline, and Boone's talking to Robeson. It's just like, okay, you got, one's a defensive, veteran, and then the other guy's an undrafted rookie running back, and it's like they seem to have, some connection. So it's like, I don't know, Robeson might be just taking young guys under his wing and, coaching him up and talking to him and stuff, so it's nice to have some of those guys on in your locker room.
Yeah, kind of. And I'm sure he's talking when you get to an outside run, what works against the ends or something like that, a little this, a little that. So
just another sign that I think our locker room just looks like super.
Yeah, it's like, just like it all. They're all together.
Yeah, they're all together. They'll get along. It's not like a whole, bunch of different cliques or
it's
something
all,
where it's
all
like
not
yeah
kind of thing.
Stuff. So, but Bowers looked good. I thought that. I don't know if he really stood out, but that David Perry played a lot. That nose tackle, he looked like he was eating up blocks, and it might be someone we need since we lost Shamar Stephen.
Yep.
Depth.
Take just like you said, eat up like if he get double teamed, that leaves space for Kendricks and Barr and Gideon and everyone else to make plays. So.
He came in sooner than I thought too. It was okay, this guy was signed. Maybe he'll get in the fourth quarter or something, but he was in there from second. One of the first second team drives on, and he played a lot of snaps. Jaleel Johnson, I thought, looked pretty good.
Yep.
So, I don't know. A lot of the young guys, I thought, looked like they held their own.
Best player we picked up this offseason, Dan Carlson.
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Drilled every kick.
Yep. Interesting approach. They decided to just let him take all the kicks, which I guess makes sense. It's like, what Kai Forbath is.
Yep.
Like, if he misses a kick in the preseason, it's not like you're like, oh, he can't kick.
No.
Kai Forbath can be a good kicker.
Exactly.
So let's see if this young kid can get out there and make some kicks. Drill them all.
Yeah.
So,
and, the weird thing is, as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, he might miss. I mean, I know it's just preseason, but it's like, towards the end there, it's like, extra point, automatic,
I mean, the 57-yarder did he hit?
Yeah.
I know it's mile high, but.
I don't care.
Still,
Drilled it,
rookie. So, definitely, nothing was even you know, everything was smooth. Everything just with no hiccups, nothing. So,
I think we found our kicker.
Yeah, I don't know how.
It's only week one of preseason, but
he's from what I've heard, he's been kicking good in training camp, kicking good in game one. So I think at this point, it'd be pretty difficult for him to blow this job. So
yeah,
I mean, fifth round trade up for him. I think it's kind of what you'd expect. Do you have anyone else you saw that you kind of thought stood out? I think we hit all my guys already.
Yeah, we hit all mine too.
Anyone that you thought, besides that we talked a little Holton Hill and Simeon, anyone you thought kind of...
No, because I kind of touched on a couple.
One, for all the talk in camp, Treadwell played a lot of snaps and didn't make a lot of plays. Now, I did like his one catch, was a short catch, but he did take that corner and just throw him to the ground.
Yep.
So you see a little strength there. And then a couple times I did see, like, the touchdown easily could have been thrown to him.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. I don't know. And then there was another play where Simeon hit one of our running backs quickly into the flats, and Treadwell was coming wide open on a slant. And you could tell he knew it, too, because as soon as it was thrown, he kind of did, like, a little scissors kick in the air, like, damn, I was open. But still, you played a lot of snaps, and you had one catch.
Yeah.
You know, it just would like to see that transfer onto the field a little more.
Yeah, but, you know, it's Cousins who has chemistry with Treadwell, not Simeon.
Well, I don't know. He's sure looking Diggs way a lot.
I know.
So, I don't know. Just someone I thought.
Yeah.
We talked about people we wanted to see going in, and it was, for all the hype surrounding how good
Treadwell
he's been doing, I hope it's not just a bunch of talk to try to build up his confidence, and he's still just Treadwell, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We're hitting training camp later today. We're going to go see the practice, so we'll check him out there, and then Saturday's game, maybe he he's on the field a lot. So it's like, dude, get three or four catches.
He's also the fourth, fifth option.
I know, but not with the second team. I know. So I don't know. He was one. We talked Holton Hill, and then I thought Blake Bell looked.
Yeah, I didn't have him. Down,
yeah, but it's tough to see people because a lot of it, if you think who looked bad or who didn't look. A lot of people didn't do anything, but they didn't have an opportunity. But I thought Blake Bell had a couple chances to make plays and either dropped the ball or couldn't reel one in that was a little bit off target.
Yeah.
Didn't show me much. I had him on my 53.
Yep.
If you asked me again, I'd probably just not.
CCL.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Maybe the tight ends as a whole.
Maybe you keep Marcus Sherrills?
No, I don't know about all that. I don't know. You know, why not? So him and I thought, I didn't think Conklin looked. He had the one catch, but I don't know. Kind of. The tight ends didn't really inspire. I thought that Morgan. I liked his play where it looked like he was going to get stopped short and he just bowled two guys. Like,
good.
That guy, yeah, I like him a lot. So, I don't know. The Vikings played great for the most part. So, I don't have, the big one was I just wish I could have saw Treadwell show up a little more. So, that's pretty much all I got from the Bronco game.
Yeah, same. I mean, I think we hit everyone.
Did anything. Jack Tatcher with the interception and the pass breakup. He's the one that kind of broke it up and it went up to Harris.
Yeah.
So he played well. I mean, he's someone I think we drafted and then cut and then brought back.
Did we stick one of the practice
squad? Yeah, I think he was a practice squad last year.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I mean,
he was sixth round pick last year, was it? Or was he seventh?
Sixth or seventh. Late, real late. I mean, we did end up cutting him and bringing him back. So
who knows? Maybe he outplays Curse and he gets the job instead of Curse.
Maybe played a little defense. I know Curse seems like he's a kind of a special team stud, and that's all he is.
He seems really good on special teams.
But it seems like he's never really done much on the defense. So, I don't know. We didn't add anyone to safety from what I can think of.
No.
So, it'd be interesting to see if someone can step up.
Yeah, because it's always been the talk about R4 and then potentially Newman.
How did your main man, Brett Taylor, look? Did you happen to catch him?
He didn't really play.
He played a little bit in the fourth quarter. He's like number 40 something.
Yeah, 45, 44,
I think.
40,
I think he's 40. I don't know.
Oh, well, he didn't make
linebacker
any noise.
In the number 40s, not a fan. I hate that Ben Gideon is 42. 42,
I know.
You look like a fullback.
Yeah.
Like, I hope Eric Wilson takes your job just because of the jersey number. Like,
well,
Wilson
yeah,
looked
they,
pretty good, too.
Well,
so
last year, 2 years ago, they started allowing linebackers to wear 40s. It's like, why?
It looks weird to me.
It does.
I'd rather see him wear 90s or something. I don't know. So, Brett Taylor screwed with that number.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think
Eric Wilson's 80's fourth on the depth chart. So, you know, things happen. I make poor decisions sometimes.
Well, yeah, you know, Brett Taylor had to add him.
Had to have him.
To throw a curveball in there. Yep. Yeah, other than that, you know, any other preseason stuff that you saw? I know our boy Teddy Bridgewater looked like Teddy Bridgewater out there.
Yes, yes.
Let's talk about him for a little bit.
He was amazing. He was lights out. I wrote down Teddy better than Brady. So,
well, you know what? All these people that just counted him out, like, I feel like, well, but also they thought he wasn't good, even though.
Yeah, they
before he even hurt, they were like, oh, this, he's not even good. He's just carried by Peterson in a defense. But 7 for 8, I think he was, touchdown.
Yep. 150.5 passer rating.
And he looked like Teddy, where it's that just, it didn't look like he was hesitating in the pocket. It didn't look like, he looked like Teddy.
I heard that he wanted to get hit. You know, he's like, I couldn't wait to get hit. And once I got hit, like, I was happy. Like, my knee didn't fall apart. I got up, and he's like, the game hasn't changed.
Good to go. And he just, I mean, he looks poised in the pocket like he always did. He's super accurate. Yep. I mean, he doesn't throw behind on drag routes.
No, nope.
You know,
he's got very good reads.
So, where's he going to end up, though? Because it's
not New York.
It makes no sense. I mean, they already have, unless they want him as a backup for a year, but it's like, you already have McCown and Darnold.
Unless they would rather cut McCown
and keep
and redshirt Darnold and
play Teddy. I mean, that's a possibility.
I mean, but I could see that.
I think they really like McCown. Like, they really like his veteran. Yeah. You know, he'd rather have the vet teach Darnold and all that. And they're definitely putting signals out, like, open for sale for Teddy. I just, like, who needs a quarterback right now? It's like, it's a weird year for the NFL. Like, every team either has a good quarterback or has someone they think is going to be their good quarterback.
Besides Miami.
Yeah, and I know, like...
But they seem to
think Tannehill. Same with, like, the Jags. Like, come on. I think Teddy would be an upgrade in Jacksonville, but... So...
But Blake Bortles wears number 5, so he can't go there.
The place I keep thinking about is the Giants. Yeah. Not to take Eli's job, but...
Next.
Pat Shurmur, you got your next guy as soon as Eli leaves... I mean, I think it's a good fit.
I like it.
An offense he's already played in, and it's a quarterback that's on his last leg, so Teddy could take that job. Otherwise, where could he start this year? Because he looks like he should start somewhere.
Yeah. Tampa?
Yeah, I just don't see them cutting bait on Winston. Like, no. Same way, it's kind of similar to Tannehill. Like, I think we all know maybe he would be an upgrade, but I think those teams are sort of stuck with, we picked the guy, we're going to stick with him until... Like Blake Bortles, Tannehill.
I don't think there's anywhere where Teddy can... Buffalo? Because all their quarterbacks look trash.
Now, obviously...
They have Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is their future guy. So, but maybe you would start Teddy this year.
Yeah, because McCarron looked bad. Peterman didn't look good. Like, if they want to win football games this year, Teddy Bridgewater gives them the
best option. They want to win football games this year?
I don't think so.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that there's not a team out there. Like, how often were the Vikings desperate for a quarterback? Like, for years. There's not a team out there that's like, we'd trade for Teddy, he's our starter, and he's our starter for the next 10 years. Like, there's no... I can't
the think Browns of the team. Finally picked a quarterback.
Yeah, and they got Tyrod, and they got Baker Mayfield now.
Exactly.
So it's like,
for years, the Browns would have been a perfect situation for a Teddy Bridgewater comeback.
Bengals, I think Dalton is not that great.
No.
No, but again, another team where I think they're kind of like, Dalton's our guy. So, I don't know. But a big injury last year. Tannehill went down. Cutler got picked up. Maybe, if anyone goes down. Hell, if Kirk Cousins goes down, I'd rather trade for Teddy to come back here.
I'd give up a high draft pick to get Teddy back.
I don't know. High. I would. We would. We'd give up plenty. We'd give up the farm to get him back. But I think you could get him for, like, I don't know, at most a 4th. Yeah, like, probably. I don't think they're looking to, like, they just signed him for like, dirt cheap. Yeah. And his knee is still, and, like, the thing I wonder about the knee is that it's not a can he play right now. It's how long can he play for, like. Maybe it's like a longevity thing where we were like, okay, Kirk Cousins is safer for the next 3 years. Yeah. Let's not worry about this. Like, he might look good for a year, and then all of a sudden he gets, you know, it could be like freaking Bradford, where it's like, oh, randomly after one great game, you have tendonitis in your knee because of all your surgeries. So, I don't know. But look great. Glad to see it. Yeah. I hope he wins Super Bowls and MVPs just for all the freaking Teddy haters to
I just wish it was fuck themselves. Be with us. I can't believe I, and I, you know, I looked at some people who are known Teddy haters, and they weren't impressed with Teddy in the first preseason.
Well, you know, I will say I went back and watched. It's a lot of short passes.
Don't care.
But he's, this is what he is. He's accurate. He's on time. He can move around in the pocket. Like, he's got great pocket presence, and like, he doesn't make mistakes. And when you do need to make a play, he makes a play. I don't know. It's like you're gonna pick him apart because, you know,
he takes what's given to him.
Yeah.
You know, he's not gonna, if he's got a receiver open underneath who can gain a couple yards after the catch, he's not gonna try and force it downfield to a receiver who's covered.
What type of offense are they running in with the Jets? I think
it's a West Coast offense.
I mean, that's what he needs to be in, because when he was with Norb, where it was like, you know, three deep routes and one short route, it's like, of course he's showing to this short guy half the time because he's, this whole concept doesn't fit him. Like, he needs to be, his strengths are accuracy and like just decisiveness and getting the ball out, and you're making him do.
I think he would have been great in D. Filippo's offense just because of the play
yeah, scheme. Yeah, and then even Shermer's. I don't think we ever actually get to see him much in Shermer's at all.
No, because we went 5-0 with Bradford.
With North.
Then turned it left.
So I think he would have been much better in Shermer's system than Norv's. I mean, just getting the ball out quick to Thielen and Diggs.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have been fantastic. I think Case Keenum looked good in that offense, so I don't know. I hope. I'm sure they won't be impressed until he, I don't know, takes a team and throws for 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, because apparently the only way to...
It's not about wins if it's
Teddy. You
know, exactly. It's about fantasy football stats.
So,
what else do we got?
Just, I don't know, anything else you kind of saw in the preseason that caught your eye?
Caught a little bit of the Lions-Raiders game.
I saw parts of that.
Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah, really stood out.
Yeah.
And that offensive line, I think, is going to be real good in Detroit.
Yeah, because they even made Amir Abdullah look good. He had some nice plays.
Yeah.
Did you watch any of it?
I didn't see. I saw most of the Kerryon Johnson's few big plays, and then I saw one of Marshawn Lynch just up the sideline. Might have been called back.
Amir Abdullah actually looked like a competent
NFL player.
Yeah, like he was making decisive cuts.
I think about Abdullah, I've always thought he could, like, he can make people miss, but he doesn't have like a burst to like do anything after
he's
that.
He's still missing that.
Why are you getting caught from behind all the time? Like, why are you not getting away from that? And I thought Kerryon Johnson looked like he had a little more burst to him.
Looks like he might be a problem.
Yeah. And
because he had it doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but he had a 57-yard touchdown called back.
Yep.
So
he looked good. I think that offense could be real good. I mean, the passing offense has always been putting up yards.
Do you know who their offensive coordinator is over there?
Isn't it Jim Bob Cooter?
Oh, yeah, that's right. They kept him around. So that's their third or fourth year now.
I think it was smart by Patricia to keep him around. Because it's like, Patricia, you're a defensive guy. The offense has never really been the problem. The running game has been a problem with Detroit. But
that's not the offensive coordinator's fault. Because, like, he never had a running back.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, his running back was
Riddick, who... Other bums.
Yeah, Zach Zenner. Yeah, just randoms. And their offensive line was pretty weak. That's why they went out and they added Frank Ragnow.
Did they also add someone else? Did they get...
I think they might have. I know they went after... They attacked it last year, too, with Mickey Wagner and I think TJ Lang. So, I mean, it's a pretty good offensive line. So, funny, I was thinking about Abdullah. It was Hard Knocks with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals wanted Abdullah.
Yep.
They wanted him bad, and then they got sniped on him, and they're like, oh, well, I guess we'll take this David Johnson fella.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it worked out well for you. Not only is Abdullah terrible,
but David Johnson's
one of the best in the league. Yep. So, like, it's funny how the draft can be just a total...
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know that, you think, well, that Cardinals GM is a genius taking David Johnson. It's like, well, he wanted Abdullah,
so
David Johnson wasn't probably next on their board, but, like... How smart is he then?
He's basically pounding the table like, I want Abdullah. I guess we'll take David Johnson.
Go to the next guy. Wasn't the one we wanted. So, I don't know. It's just kind of funny how...
Oh, things
without bad. Knowing people's draft boards, you don't know how, you know, where they actually had guys, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure we had a ton of running or receivers that are terrible ahead of Diggs on our draft board that year. But
exactly.
That's also because of other reasons, too. Injuries. And, like, David Johnson was a small school guy, so maybe they were like... Who knows, but I don't know.
And he's unusually large for a running back.
Yeah, 6'2", certainly a big guy. But, man, is he good.
Yeah.
Catching the balls out of the backfield. And he looked
and being able to spread him out wide.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I think his wasn't his first run, first two runs for both like 10 yards each. And it's like, all right, he's back, you know, like, so
that's good to see. And, I like David Johnson.
Yeah. And then with Kerryon Johnson, the other rookie running backs out there.
Yeah.
Not so good. Darius Geis.
Tore ACL.
And he, that run that he tore his ACL on, that was a nice run. That he kind of reminded me of Lynch with the, like, just fighting people with the stiff arm, you know, like kind of just bowling them upfield, and then torn ACL. So he's done. Then Sony Michel's been out.
Yep.
He's out, I think, the whole preseason.
Yep.
And then they were talking maybe he has a bone-on-bone issue.
Ooh.
So that's, I don't know, that's never good to hear.
No.
And then who's on the, Rashad Penny.
Broke his finger.
And not to mention they're saying Chris Carson's been out playing him the whole preseason, training camp.
I watched some of that Seattle game last week. Even Mike Davis looked better than Rashad Penny.
I think Rashad Penny's real raw. Small school. And Pro Football Focusing said that he was the second worst pass blocking running back.
Yeah.
Which you get away with that at, was it San Diego State? Come to the NFL, it might be a little bit. Just seems like a bad pick by the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Maybe they were not as confident in Carson, but there was still plenty of running backs after Penny. I mean, Michelle, Chubb, Geis. Yeah. Kerryon Johnson, Royce Freeman. So, like, to take him in the first round when your team is trash. Their team is bad. It's Russell Wilson, and I mean, they lost all their defense.
They
should
have taken Mike Hughes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what they could have used a corner. They could have used a bunch
of offensive linemen.
Yeah,
like, so, they could have used basically everything but a cornerback or a quarterback.
Not looking like a great pick at this point.
No. I'm not impressed.
I actually thought Royce Freeman, as far as rookie running backs, had a couple nice runs against us. The one touchdown where he was open field and he just basically made Anthony Harris just kind of stand there.
Yep.
So he looked good. I thought he looked a lot better than Booker.
Yeah.
So he might win that job.
I think Freeman's got it. He can pass block. He's faster than Booker. I like Freeman coming out of Oregon, so that's nice to see him make some plays like that.
I'm excited to take him in Dynasty. I'll get all the good running backs, and you don't have a good pick.
I'll take one.
You're not getting anyone at pick 13 or wherever you are.
I'm taking Barkley, though.
Oh, well, my bad. I just completely forget that he's even in the draft. Yeah. You have the first pick. It's Barkley. Nice run. I think we actually saw that last week.
We did. Yeah. He had a couple runs after that, but, I mean, he had a 40-yard run.
Did you see any Hard Knocks?
Yes.
Did watch it?
I did watch it.
That was an interesting episode. Corey Coleman asking for a trade.
Yeah, well, he was like, he went up to Hugh Jackson and asked, like, why am I not playing with the first team offense? He's like, go ask Todd.
Go ask Todd. Good work, Hugh.
Yeah.
Way to be a coach. You got to love it. It's like, so that they try to punish Callaway for,
For his weed thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And first off, the cop smells weed in your car, but you didn't know it was in there, and you...
Nope.
That's ridiculous. Nope. And they're like, we believe him. He made him... It's like, I don't think a cop smelling some...
Get out of here.
Especially coming from Antonio Callaway, who's already got a bunch of issues. But they make him play every snap.
Well, that's the thing.
It's like...
Okay, so... The episode prior, he's talking about not practicing guys because of injuries.
Yeah.
And so he goes and punishes Callaway by making him play every snap.
And I think he got hurt.
Yeah, he did. He hurt his ribs on one. And so like, it's dumb. Like, all right, you know, that's actually kind of really fucked up.
I feel like they're showing more than they usually would on Hard Knocks. Like, they're showing things that usually, because I'm sure the teams get a right to say you don't get to show that.
Yeah.
Like, first episode, they show the coordinators disagree with the head coach over playing different guys.
I think they notice how what's the one show? All or Nothing. I think they notice how like All or Nothing is like is. Much better and probably gets much better ratings than Hard Knocks. Like, all right,
we need to up. Not just, you know, we don't just need to see. You know, you want to see that stuff. You want to see the dissidents and the actual. I mean, it was interesting to see Callaway is sitting on the sidelines, and he clearly knows he screwed up, but he hasn't told anyone. And they're all like, "You okay? Like, what's wrong with you?" And he's all quiet. And so, I mean, and to see they actually showed Corey Coleman demand a trade was cool.
Either play me or trade me.
Yeah,
it's
wow. I mean, it's like and they're, you know, he's, he, I mean, they show him dropping balls and they're talking about how he's just,
I'm sure when he got traded, they added all that stuff in. Like, you want to know why he got traded? This is why,
you know,
he got
and they traded. They play each other coming up.
Yep.
Coleman and them. So I don't know. I think Hard Knocks has been really good this year.
Yep, I agree.
And I think it's partly because I think Hugh Jackson's kind of funny that he's just, I think he's a terrible coach. Todd Haley, I'm starting to come around on him. I kind of like him. But Greg Williams,
God.
What an, I just find like, how can his players like him? He's an everything asshole.
Everything about him turns me off. I don't know. I can't
see. Like, he just talks down to him and just cussing at him and just ripping into him. I'd be like, dude, fuck you. Like,
yeah. And then, well, then he's letting his players hit the quarterback. And Todd Haley's good teams don't hit the quarterback. Then fucking block them. It's like,
dude, what are you doing? Like,
you're going to get somebody killed.
Then block them. No, the whole point is you just don't touch the quarterback. Yeah. That's the reason you don't want him to get hurt. Like, yeah. And he's just like, I'd have to imagine that one of their players is going like, you know what? You're the guy who paid people to hurt people and got suspended for a year. Like, you're an idiot. Like, oh, I don't know. Sure, it's an interesting dynamic of coaches. Like,
it really is.
Like, you got just this crazy defensive coordinator, Hugh Jackson, who thinks he's like their mentor to everyone. And then Todd Haley, who I seem to be, I don't know, I didn't know much about him, but I seem to be coming around on him.
I like Todd Haley.
It's kind of like his style. You know, when he was getting on Callaway, like, dude, like, and he didn't know what was going on with Callaway, but he's kind of like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? He's like, you look like a puppy dog. Like, exactly. Just like asking him what the heck's going on with him. So,
I like Todd Haley. Like I said, you know, I can see him getting the job by like week 8 or 9.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean,
if they, because they got a little hype behind them.
Oh, yeah. So, if they don't have a win or they only have one win, that's it.
Hugh should get fired. I mean, he went 0-16 and kept his job. What, 1-15?
Yeah.
Year before?
Yeah.
Like,
1-31. Like,
that's insane.
I get it. You know, they're the Cleveland Browns. It's been fourth year now.
I would think, because I'm sure they weren't talking about firing him after his first year.
Yeah, it's probably 4-12.
Maybe not though. Maybe
he is only 1-32. Yeah, or
which would be atrocious. I don't know. He just watch every episode. It just makes me think that this guy's just a joke.
Yeah.
But getting towards the end here, you have anything else you want to talk about before we cut part one and then head to training camp? And then we'll jump in for part two.
Yeah, I think we're good. I think we hit everything. So, let's take a little break.
Wolves just won against the Lakers in 2004, watching some classics.
Yep.
They're about to lose the series, but...
But it's still fun watching the Western Conference Finals.
KG.
Look at that. Oh, nice play by KG.
So we'll pause here. We'll break. We're going to go hit training camp up, watch the Jags, Vikings. It's the last day of public training camp. I think this is the very last day that anyone goes there. So we're going to check that out, and we'll pick up from where we left off.
Right on.
All right, and we are back from training camp. How was your experience at training camp?
Mine was a little rough. You know, parking was kind of shoddy. Beautiful facility, and then they got nothing but gravel parking lots.
Yeah, you know, not a fan.
No,
you know,
that was disappointing. How about your experience?
More disappointing than the parking lot was the fact that we didn't get to watch training camp.
Yes. I my parking experience was so bad. I completely forgot that I didn't get
to
see
that we only saw Ryan Quigley punting and Treadwell jogging down the field to cover the punt.
Yeah, Treadwell showed zero effort on the punt coverage.
I mean, from what we could tell, the drill was set up for him not to show any effort. But, I mean, come on.
He's just trotting out there. Can't even pick his way between two defenders.
So, I mean, soft. We on the other field, we got to see, you know, Mike Hughes, you know, catch a couple because the Jaguars were punting.
Yep.
Yeah, it was about that time that they made us all leave because of a storm coming in. So
yep, they put it over the loudspeakers at first and told people to evacuate to their cars, and people started leaving, and we're like, you know what? We're not going to leave until they make us.
Yeah, we stayed, and then some guy, you know, some schmuck came up and kind of...
Yeah, acting like he was some sort of security guard
or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. It said security on his shirt, I think, but, you know, who was he?
Yeah, he's worried about our safety.
They made us go down back to the, you know, off the bleachers. So we tried to go to the left, you know, and go get a spot. And they yelled at us again to leave the whole area.
Yeah. And then we went to the right and then tried holding a spot.
There was a whole crowd there. We kind of joined the crowd to not leave. And then some other lady came rolling up screaming that we all had to leave.
Yep.
So
Yeah, that was bad.
I think then they ended up moving practice inside anyways. So they kicked all the fans out because of a storm. So, you know. we mostly just we got to see some punts. Yeah, and that was it. So
Ryan Quigley's not going to have a touchback again this year.
Oh, absolutely not. He looks crisp. He's ready to go. With that, you know, absolutely. We got a little bit seeing Delvin, you know, messing around with Murray for a little bit because they don't play special teams, so they don't have to screw around with that.
Exactly. We got to see Dan Carlson's backup, Kai Forbath, walk across the field. I don't know if you saw him walking across a couple times.
You know,
I think I saw him pick up a towel.
Yeah, I did see that. I saw the quarterbacks play catch with each other.
Yep.
It's pretty good stuff. You know, it's really. This is the inside scoop that you get from the Grapes and Gorek show.
True. I got to see Kirk Cousins hand the ball off to Dalvin Cook a couple times.
Oh, yeah. That's when they wanted us to leave, but we refused. So we saw a couple handoffs, a couple bootlegs and dump offs. Yeah, those were exciting.
I was getting worried there for a second. I saw Murray working with Cousins and Cook working with Simeon. I got a little shaken there. I was like, whoa.
Demotion.
Is Murray taking this job? I was ready to adjust my fantasy rankings accordingly. But then, you know, the next drill, you know, they went back and it was...
Turns out they just rotate them.
Yes. Who would have thought?
We wouldn't have known that. But, you know, other than the fact that we didn't actually get to see anything and we had to drive all the way out there and then turn around, the facility's super nice.
Yeah, at least we didn't have to drive to Mankato and get canceled.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I didn't think about that. And it's way, way nicer than Mankato.
Yeah. The facility's just great.
Fantastic.
They've got a lot of cool stuff there. They've got the Vikings locker room. They've got the Vikings museum. They had a bunch of like random concession stands that you can get. Mm-hmm.
Super cheap too. Yep. Everything was cheap.
Yeah, and then, it was only $1 for a bottle of water.
Yeah, which, they could easily gouge you way more than that. Yeah. And finding a seat, we walked right in, right at practice started, went up to the top and had a spot.
And
plenty of space.
I mean, we wanted to be up at the top to get a better view. So, I mean, it was perfect for us. So
looks like a great place to watch a practice. We wouldn't know, but... Yeah.
Well, it's a good place to watch like 15 minutes of practice.
Yeah, it's a great place to watch some special teams. And also, we did get to see some calisthenics, some working out. Stretching. That was pretty good.
We could see Brian Robeson because he was wearing the only person wearing yellow sleeves.
Bright yellow with, you know, just those. Yeah, he's looking sharp out there.
Oh yeah, looking very limber. He looked like he does yoga in the office.
I bet you, yeah. Oh yeah, he definitely does some yoga. That guy
definitely. I mean, with hair like that, he's a free spirit. The man loves to hop on the pad. But other than that, I mean, I wish we had a lot more to talk about. I mean,
we saw
a little bit of practice.
Not really much at all. But yeah, we didn't see much. But we do play the Jags this weekend.
Yeah,
I don't know anything you're looking forward to seeing.
More of the first team offense.
Yeah,
more
maybe a couple drives.
More of Dan Carlson.
I'm looking forward to seeing a little more of Quigley, like we saw today at practice. Those pinpoint accuracy punts.
Yeah, you know, hopefully the offense becomes stagnant so we can see more.
Yeah,
of Quigley
I want to see some three and outs to get Quigley on the field. But yeah, is Delvin gonna play?
I don't think so. I bet he plays a couple drives the third preseason.
Yeah, that's probably it, just to get him hit a couple times so he's, you know, not getting his first hit in the regular season. But, I mean, if he was playing, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Otherwise, at least a couple drives from the first team, couple drives from the second team. Maybe Treadwell actually gets a ball, you know, and makes a play.
Maybe Mike Hughes stays impressive.
Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't
keeps that up. Maybe he gets to do some more punt returning, kick returning.
Yep. Hopefully, I know... Rashad Hill was out of practice today, so they were going back and forth with Hill and Aviante Collins.
Yeah. You mean O'Neal.
O'Neal. So, I don't know, if Hill is out, it would be nice to see O'Neal
get some reps with the first team. Yeah.
I guess as things kind of shake out throughout the week with injuries, there's a couple things that I'd like to see.
The tight end, Josiah Price, went on IR, is out for the season. He was going to make the team.
Yeah, he was more on the bubble.
Yeah.
But he's not going to make the team anymore. So, is that anyone else get hurt?
I don't think so. I know Stacey Coley left to practice a few days ago.
Yeah, but I think
is he back? Is he good to go?
I think I saw him back. No,
it was yesterday.
Today, I saw a thing on Twitter while we were at practice.
He
was out. Because
he got hurt, I think, was it 2 days ago?
Yeah.
Something like that? Yeah, so I don't know. And they said he looked dejected.
Yeah.
He looked like he was not happy about his... Well, not that you would be ever happy about an injury, but...
But it makes you think, is it something that's
like
going to linger?
Something serious.
Yeah.
That would suck, because he looked good in the preseason game. I don't know if he had one or two catches, but he had the one nice one on the sideline.
Yep, and he played pretty well last preseason, too. So, I mean, with the team... I mean, with Zimmer not really talking about Kendall Wright all that high, having Stacy Coley around healthy might actually be a lot more impactful than we originally thought. So hopefully he gets back to practice soon and back to form, because we might need him down the road. You never know. We're watching. So today's Timberwolves Day on NBA TV. We're watching the 0-4 playoffs.
Is this round one?
No, this,
oh, this
is
the Kings.
Round.
This is the second round. This is game seven. This is a great game.
Is this game seven?
I think it's game seven, yeah.
Yeah, I think it is too. But so yeah, game seven, 2004 playoffs.
KG. This is where Chris Webber misses the final shot, I think.
I think he's right.
He's like wide open. Yeah. Speaking of Timberwolves, what are your thoughts? Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler.
Would you trade him?
I honestly don't think I would trade him, even if you know he's leaving at the end of the year. I mean, I guess it all depends on what you're going to get back for him. But we're three seed if he's healthy.
Last year. Yeah.
And I can see us making three seed again this year.
It's tough
if he's
in the West, though, but yeah.
I know, it's super tough.
We were still the three seed. I mean, people act like, I mean, we ended up the eight seed.
Yeah.
And then it's great we had to play the Rockets, but I think if we would have stayed in that 3-4 area, we could have won a playoff series and it wouldn't have been so, I mean, because it seems like it's nothing but like bad vibes right now with the team.
Exactly.
Like, so, but Butler, I my only worry is if we're struggling maybe towards the trade deadline, they might just say,
screw it,
trade him, get something for him to build around Kat and Wiggins. Because I think Kat's still your future.
Yeah. I know Butler rejected the contract extension.
That was always going to happen.
Yeah,
that
he's going to get more money.
He's going to get more money if it's from us or from someone else next season. So there's no reason he was ever going to take that.
Yeah.
It's just some of the stuff on Twitter and stuff, and it seems like he's just like, he's not as happy as he was when he first got here. Yeah. Like, it's not.
Which, I mean, I can understand. I mean, you know, you think when you have a team and then you add a piece like Butler, he's probably thinking, you know, yeah, you probably, like, I'm the final piece of the puzzle, but at the same time, he needs more help. Like,
Kat and Wiggins needed to, like, take a step. Like, they were just sort of the same guys as they've been. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's not good enough.
No,
so,
like, Kat had to take a step defensively, and he didn't do that. Like, his offense, like, we know
his offense is always good, But and like, Wiggins needs to take a step all around, you know? Yeah. He needs to, one, be a better defender, but then two, also,
he hasn't developed
at all. He's just like,
shot, his shot's still gross. He doesn't attack.
Mm-hmm. And I just don't know. What did we do this offseason? We got those couple first-round picks. What were they? Late guys, weren't they? Like
Okogie.
Yeah, and then we Anthony Tolliver.
Which we, I mean, is that a true upgrade to Bleacia? Or is that lateral?
It's probably.
I mean, I know Tolliver was more efficient offensively and defensively, but just, I don't know. I've seen Anthony Tolliver play in Minnesota
it's
before.
It's Anthony Tolliver. Yep. It's not like it's some super exciting player. So it's pretty much back to running back the same team as last year, which, again, was three seed until Butler went down.
But you've seen that. We've seen that story before with the Vikings 09, 010.
Yeah, where you run the team back. Yep. And also you've seen the same story of Butler getting hurt. He gets hurt.
Yeah.
Kind of misses 10 to 15 games all the time.
Yep. So, we're going to be good. It's going to be tough, though, because, you know, if we start struggling towards the end of the year or get bounced right away in the playoffs, like, Jimmy's going to have to take a hard look at the roster and go, can I win in this?
Yeah, or do I just go join LeBron? Like, his choices are,
yeah. Or do I go back east and have a chance to, like, fight rather than going up against the
all
super
these
teams?
Yeah. So I don't, it kind of wanted play it out this year because I want to see us be competitive and make the playoffs. And but like for the long term for the franchise, it's, I mean, it kind of makes sense to trade Butler for something to continue to build. But
how? I mean, you can. We've been building for 17 years.
But if you just if you don't think you're gonna win the finals, then you're just gonna let Butler walk for nothing. And if you think there's no chance of him coming back, if you think that it's not going well, he's going to leave. It just would suck to just let him
if
walk.
You're able to get like a young asset to like help you out, but you know, if you're just offered, you know, a couple role
like,
players
and like picks and stuff, I'd want like a young piece to add to
and it'd probably be a protected first round pick too. It's like I don't want nothing protected, you know. It's just And I don't like NBA trades. I mean, they happen all the time. But, you know, usually somebody's getting the better end of the deal.
Oh, we saw, like, with KG trade, we ended up with, like, nothing. Al Jefferson. Like,
Gerald Green.
Yeah, a bunch of...
It was bad.
Scrubs. So what are your thoughts on Tibbs?
Can't stand him.
Yeah, guy, when he came, it was like, we got the coach, like, Thibodeau. Yep. And now he just seems, like, so rigid and stuck in his... All right, and we're back again. Had a little malfunction with the recorder. I think the battery died. First time we've ran out the battery.
Whoopsies.
We think it cut out around Thibodeau.
Yep, so we'll just start Thibodeau over.
Yeah, we'll just start fresh. We both think he sucks.
Yep, he runs his plays to the ground. It sucks because, you know, like you said, we thought, like, we finally had the coach, and he just, I don't know, I thought when I heard defensive specialist, I was thinking, all right, you know, like, he's going to get the guys together and play defense.
He's going to actually make them get to play some defense. And no, they still, and maybe that's not his fault, but he didn't really do, he isn't, I guess it, we thought he was going to fix it. Oh, yep. Right. We got the defensive coach. He'll be fine. Sort of like Zimmer did with our defense.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe it's because Zimmer finally brought players in that can play defense, but I don't know. Thibodeau, he shoots long twos, shoots some threes. I don't know, like,
I don't like his game plan.
It just seems like we're an old-style team that doesn't fit today's NBA.
Well, and I'm not saying we have to run up and down the court and huck up threes all the time, but, you know, get some better shooters in there.
Yeah.
Let's run the floor a little bit.
Get Cat the ball sometimes, too. Like, he doesn't get fed the ball nearly enough.
No, I mean, I'm honestly surprised that, like, Cat doesn't take 25 shots a game like your star player should.
I mean, I know Butler's going to get his, but, like, Butler works well within a team anyways, so...
Yeah. And Cat's so efficient when he takes his shots. You know, you hardly ever see Cat take a bad shot. You know, that's just not him.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just... Thibodeau, like you said, the running the players into the ground, they're not using the bench. It's sort of all the things that, like, people kind of warned about him.
Yeah,
coming true. Like,
exactly.
His abrasive style. Like, I just don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's working. And it just sucks that he got all control of everything, too.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, he's bringing in the former Bulls players, which, you know, some have worked, some haven't. But it just seems that it's tough to have your coach be your GM.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Because he goes for players he likes, whether they're good or not. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, he fits the system. Like, he works well with the system. Yeah, but the guy who works well with the system is not very good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like Taj Gibson, you know, I like Taj.
Taj,
you know,
he's fine. He's solid. You know, he's a plus player.
I just don't like the, I mean, he plays 30 to 36 minutes a game. I don't think he's the kind of guy that you want playing 36 minutes
a
game.
Yeah, no, you definitely don't need to be using Taj Gibson.
Yeah.
Like he's some... needs to be on the court for 40 minutes a game.
And that's what he does. It's outrageous. Yeah.
So,
some nights I've seen him on the floor more than Towns, which I thought was kind of... I think it's usually on, like, back-to-backs and stuff like that, but still, he should not be playing more minutes than freaking Towns. I'm tired of Tibbs. I'm tired of it.
It's just a real bummer that Flip passed away, because, like, I think he was... I just feel like he connected better with these young, like Wiggins and Towns and stuff. There was, like, more of a... I don't know. It just seems like Thibodeau's not getting through to him. Butler's not getting through to him. And maybe that's more on Towns and Wiggins, but it's not working.
Yeah. I mean, and with Wiggins, like, he's got talent for days, but he, I don't know if he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He doesn't
have that fire in him or something.
Yeah.
But it all goes back to two, though. Like, would we be saying this had we won the 3 seed, won a playoff series, and then got beat in the second round? Or would it be way better? And it wouldn't be so bad, but it does seem like there's a lot of, like, animosity or, like, bad vibes going on in that locker room so I don't know. It's just, maybe they just run it back and all of a sudden by the All-Star break we're a 2-3 seed or something and it's like everything's going great. Maybe Butler's happy, ready to re-sign and all that, but I don't know. I could see it going real south too.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, once it starts going south, I don't think...
No, I think it's going to get bad. I think that's when you end up doing the trade of Butler and you try to reset the team around Towns.
Yeah, I mean, trade whatever role players you can. Trade Teague if you can. I know he's got a bunch of money on his contract.
I would have rather have Rubio still.
Oh, yeah.
We were both Rubio guys. So. Yep.
Yep, love Rubio. I know everyone thinks that their point guard should score, but you know when he plays elite defense and has elite court vision.
Yeah,
you
know, I the defense was great too. Like,
yeah,
it's just you miss that without batter defenses these days to have a point guard actually plays defense. And then he started scoring pretty decently for the Jazz. Yep. I mean,
and you know Rubio didn't always you know just play the point guard either. Like on defense, he sometimes he would take like their best wing. Because yeah. he's so tall and lanky. Yeah.
When
and
we'd do like two point guards too, he'd play the shooting guard, you yeah. know. And
Tyus
then,
would come in. And, it was Tyus.
Yeah, a lot, probably right, a lot yeah. of Tyus going. Yeah, he because obviously Tyus, smaller guy, has to yep. go up against the point guard. So, but you know, hopefully, the Wolves can maybe get back to playing some of these actual playoff games like we're watching on this TV here.
Oof.
Instead right of, I mean, the one this year was pretty,
yeah,
pretty awesome. You know, yeah. that's why it's kind of like I don't want to see us just.
Blow it up.
Yeah, because it is like, I just want to, like, we've so many years of just being worthless that it was nice to see us actually get in the playoffs and win a game.
And that, and the vibe at Target Center the last game of the year and that playoff yep. game.
Like, both
that,
awesome.
It yeah. was outrageous. Like, it was so much fun having that kind of energy in that building again. Like, we haven't had that in years. You know, it's always two-thirds empty.
Oh, but, yeah. I've had season tickets in the, for the Wolves when it was Johnny Flynn and
the Ricky Nine package.
Oh yeah, Rubio's year when he came over, and it just was like, I don't know, what did I say? I probably only saw less than double digit wins in two or three years. Like it was just like bad. Yeah. But then last year, I mean, yeah, like you said, it was like electric in there.
We went to a couple games, and like as the year went on, you know, we could tell the center was filling up more and more.
Oh yeah,
and we got to the last game, and it was, you know, packed. Everyone's up and screaming. People are dancing, getting on the board, and everything like that. It was just way too much fun, and I don't want to go back to
just playing for that draft pick every year.
Yeah, because you know we saw what playing for draft picks did with for us. We got Johnny Flynn and Wes Johnson.
Yeah, it doesn't work out too well. We got Derek Williams.
Derek Williams, yeah.
That was a good one. Well, we've talked Wolves and Vikings. What about we're going to the Twins game Saturday night?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on some of the moves, the trades?
I know. It's weird. A lot of people, I see a lot of people freaking out over the Twins moves.
All well, upset.
Yeah.
Eduardo Escobar and Dozier.
Dozier one. They're all expiring. Oh, and Lance Lynn. They're like, oh. It's like, dude, we just signed him for a year.
Lance all, Lynn. Who cares about leaving. Lance Lynn?
And yeah. I think the Lance Lynn trade, we got the two best players out of. We got Tyler Austin, who's an outfielder first baseman for the Yankees. And he should be on our roster right now playing some first and DHing.
Well, maybe he'll be a September call-up or probably. Whatever. Yeah.
But then I forget the pitcher, Luis Sum. He's from like Venezuela. He's like 19-20. He's got a high 90s fastball. I'm a fan of that move.
Well, and it's like, we're not good. Even if somehow, some way we would have like made a push, it's like, we're going to win in the playoffs with this rotation we have. Yeah. Like these guys our pitching's not good enough.
No.
And then all these guys are going to leave. So why would you not move them for some future assets? Like it just I don't know why people are all fired up that
and people act like Escobar is like an everyday player. Like, yeah, he played every day for us, but the dude's a utility guy at
well
best.
I mean, isn't he even smashing doubles this year like nobody's business?
Yeah, but his defense isn't very good.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, it's just like get something for the guy.
Yeah,
we have, like, you know, you were saying earlier in the car, like, we have young prospects coming up, and then Polanco's back.
Yep. So, like, it creates a roadblock on the middle infield, like, with Dozier and Escobar.
Yeah, clear a spot and sell them while you can still get something for them, yep. You know?
Like, it almost, like, yes, I know we made the wild card game last year, but can you imagine the value we could have got out of Dozier last year?
Oh, exactly.
Or yeah. over the winter after
and you weren't
going to
win anything
runs.
Last year anyways. Yeah, you made the wild card, but again,
our
team is not
you were 3-0 in the top
good.
Of the first, and you blew it. You got ran out of the water. And trust me, I thought we were going to win that game after we... We're up 3-0. Yeah. I'm up.
I think,
jumping around, screaming.
What was the Severino? What's the
Severino?
Severino. We got him bounced in the first inning,
yep.
didn't we?
Yep.
Yeah. And somehow we lose that game.
Because yep. They scored 4 in the bottom of the first.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. No, it was great.
That's
so
Minnesota sports for you.
Yep. But I mean, yeah, we moved Rodney last week. the waiver wire trade.
Yeah.
Like, dude's 38. Yeah. We got a prospect for him.
You got something. Now it might turn out it turns into nothing, but at least he got something.
Yep.
Again, you're not winning this year, and he's probably not on your team next year, so who really yep. cares?
So why not add pieces for the future?
Have you heard anything about Pineda?
I hear he's on track for a return. I don't think it's going to be this year.
Probably. Oh, yeah. So I'm just interested because I remember signing him, and I mean, that's...
Yeah, I think sounds like he can like start throwing at the end of this month, early next month.
Well, they
month.
Might as well take their time. They got a long time for him to get fully healthy. And
you know, that was the plan all year, was just to let him get healthy. That's why we signed him to a two-year deal.
Hopefully he comes back and he's somewhat like his old self.
Yeah.
Him and Barrios, and at least you have like the
nice 1-2 punch
to start with. Yeah.
Because I mean, they're
Irvin Santana. Is he locked up next year?
Yes, but he has lost some.
Yeah, he
ticks on his
doesn't
velocity.
Look as good as before his
Before his injury. Because I know last year he was hitting 92-93. I know his first game back, the highest he threw was like 89. It was like,
ooh. Yikes!
And he doesn't have, you know, like he doesn't have the stuff to be able to like mask his 89 mile an hour.
No,
fastball.
Yeah.
It's not Brad Radke out there.
Brad Radke, hell of a ball player.
Best Twins pitcher. Second best Twins pitcher ever.
Who's the first?
Black Jack Morris. World Series champion.
No. Johan.
Well, yeah. Obviously.
Johan Santana.
Santana, Liriano, then Radke.
Radke, I always really liked, though. You know, something about
solid.
Him. Yeah.
I mean,
control, didn't walk nobody.
Let him give up his first inning home run, and he got zeros the rest
of
the
way. Good to go after that.
Oh, yeah, that was a shame watching him pitch that last game against the A's. Only hit like 82 on the radar gun. It's like, oh god.
Well, wasn't he like pitching with like a completely
did
messed
his
up?
Did
arm?
He have a torn
like,
rotator cuff?
Yeah, it's like dude, you're pitching with that. Like,
yeah, and you're able to huck off 84 miles an hour on a torn rotator cuff for 7 innings.
I guess that's pretty impressive.
Like that, you're like yeah, like that. Unreal.
All right. I think we got what we could from training camp, seeing as we got kicked out right away.
I definitely
want to go back next year, though, and actually get to see a whole practice. So, but we'll watch the game this weekend.
Next week, we'll review.
Yeah, we'll review. Maybe we'll talk about any news or thing that happened during that time. Hopefully, no injuries. Maybe a bar extension. We'll keep hoping.
Yep. Again, you know. Hopefully we got good news with an Anthony Barr extension. We're just going to keep this.
We're going to do it every time until we get good news with an Anthony Barr extension. And then we'll talk about the game, and then we'll talk about the next upcoming game, you know, because we're going to be heading into week 3 the next time we're recording.
So we'll be talking about starters, and hopefully if Cook doesn't play this weekend, we'll be talking about potentially seeing Cook for the
I would
first
hope
time.
You at least see Cook once in this preseason.
I think we will.
I think you have to. You got to at least take a couple hits.
Even if it is just to drive.
Yeah,
you know, I think,
and that's probably what it will be, a two drives at most, and then just get them out of there.
Probably
so.
Two drives. I mean, I bet if it's a long scoring drive,
that's it. Yeah,
that's it. But if it's like a quick 3-and-out or something,
let him, I think they're going to want him to at least get hit a couple times just to knock the rust off and get rolling. But we'll be back probably Thursday.
Thursday seems to work.
Consistent day for us. So
podcast on Friday.
All right. We'll see ya.